Welcome to the Beyond Intuitive Eating Podcast, hosted by me, Beth Basham. I am a registered dietitian, certified intuitive eating counselor, and liberated body coach. I'm also a wife and mama to two amazing little people. With over 20 years of experience, I help women bridge food freedom with optimal health using principles of intuitive eating, foundations of emotional mastery, functional medicine, and neuroscience. This is the space where you get to end the war with your body and discover total confidence and true health from the inside out. I'm curious, do you avoid getting new clothes because you have no idea what size you would even pick from the shelf? Or maybe you don't want to be confronted with what that size is. If you're like so many of my clients, clothes shopping can be incredibly stressful and enough to make you throw the towel in on the path to food freedom. For so long, that number or the way that the clothes fits means something about us, our ability to do it right, or our health in general. Am I right? I know I've had these concerns about myself, and honestly, to this day, I don't particularly love shopping for new clothes, but I do need clothes that fit my body and that feel comfortable to wear, just like you do. The truth is, we all deserve to feel comfortable. And in today's episode, I'm going to explore 5 tips for going clothes shopping without having a meltdown. And I want to say that many of these tips have come from my clients who live in different size bodies. These aren't just tips from one person, me, who's had just one experience in one kind of a body. And I feel like that's really important to share because as you listen to this podcast, you're likely going to hear tips that sound really good and others that you're just going to know aren't going to work for you. Either way, it's my intention in this episode to help you discover one or more ways to support yourself as you travel to the store, as you walk into the dressing room, so that you don't run out of the store completely hating yourself and your experience. Because whatever your story is about clothes and shopping, it's time to flip the page because you deserve to be in clothes that feel good on your present body, not the body that you may or may not live in the future, not the body of your past, but right here, right now. So let's go ahead and dive in. Okay, so the first step or the first tip I want to share is to make a choice to go shopping alone or with someone else ahead of time. Now you might be scratching your head and thinking, why does this even matter? But I promise this is a great place to start. Before even going to the store, I want you to reflect for a moment right here as you're listening on the past shopping experiences that you've had. Just take notice of if you've enjoyed them most or not so much, enjoyed them at all, when you've gone with someone else, or if you've been by yourself, where were you in these experiences? And if you're not sure, you can also just reflect in a more general sense about how you enjoy shopping for other things like kitchen supplies or, you know, a new rug. Do you prefer to be by yourself or do you prefer to be with others? Are you generally calmer when you're, you know, on your own, or do you connect to joy when you're surrounded with your friend or a partner? There's really not a right or wrong answer here. This is merely about you deciding what's most supportive. And sometimes we can regulate our emotions, that meltdown, as an example, when we're in relationship with other people. And other times it's actually easier for us to do it on our own. And emotional regulation is a vital key to not having that meltdown in the dressing room. So if we can set ourselves up for success in advance, which again might sound a little odd, we may have the best support tools available to us as we walk into the store. And here's the other little caveat here. If you're someone who, you know, thinks you would enjoy going with someone, I don't think I have to say this, but I'll say it anyway. Make sure you pick someone who really supports your emotions and your desire to feel good throughout your shopping experience. I'd highly advise not going with a friend who picks her own body apart, who tends to judge herself or other people's bodies. I mean, you can already probably guess that that's not going to be the best for you because you're going to be hearing those messages throughout your experience. You likely want to go with someone who's very body neutral or someone who really supports what you're moving through on your food freedom journey. Okay, so now we're going to move into the second tip, And that is to allow for time to explore with a really, really clear intention of what you want to get out of your shopping experience. Again, this is kind of getting out ahead of the shopping experience. This is work we do before we even get in the car and drive to the store. And I totally understand you likely have no desire to really do this shopping for clothes once again task, but you know you need to, right? You don't want to go shopping, but but you know you need clothes that fit your body. And it's natural to feel like, I just want to get this over with as quickly as possible, really, really, really fast. But we want to take a pause and recognize that when we're in a hurried state, this oftentimes for so many of us only creates more feelings of anxiousness and this underlying pressure to find something. So while you may be short on time, believe me, I am a mom with two young kids. We've got a lot going on, and finding time to go shopping is not always an easy feat. But I invite you to find time in your calendar, even if it's a couple weeks from now, where you can block off, give yourself plenty of time and space to explore. And, you know, likely give yourself an hour or so more than what you even think you need. And as you do this work, as you kind of decide where on your calendar you can find some time to go shopping and give yourself a little bit more time than what you think you might need, it's important to have an intention with your shopping. So decide, is my intention to find clothes for work? Is my intention to find a nice outfit for date night? Is it something else? Do I want to be really comfy, cozy around my house? You know, that's what I work from home. So when I go shopping, typically it's for athleisure wear, where I'm wearing pretty comfortable clothes around the house, but I want to feel good in my work environment. I don't want to feel like I just am wearing PJs all day. I like to wear something that's a little bit nicer and trendier, but not necessarily uncomfortable, right? Because I'm sitting in my office desk, I'm taking the dogs for a walk, I'm doing things around the house, and I want to feel comfortable doing those things. So you want to kind of set the intention for, this is what I need in my life. These are the types of clothes. These are the kinds of things I need more of in my closet. And then remind yourself as much as you need to about that intention. You know, and also your intention could be something very, very simple. Like, my intention is to be calm for this shopping trip. My intention is to have fun. And I want to find clothes that inspire me, et cetera. You decide whatever your intention is, but it's nice to remind yourself and go back to that, especially right before you walk into the store. My intention is to be calm today. My intention is to explore. My intention, and one of my favorite intentions of all time, you've likely heard me talking about on other episodes, is to stay curious. Stay curious about what comes up. Stay curious about what clothes are available. Stay curious about what sizes are on those clothes. Stay curious about the entire experience. Stay curious if I do decide to have a meltdown, right? There's not a right or wrong here. Even if you go with some of these tips to the store or to the store and you still have a meltdown, it does not mean anything about you. It's not wrong. You're not wrong. You're just having an emotional reaction to something that for so many women is incredibly stressful. So don't worry. Set your intention. It doesn't mean that you have to keep it and that you're wrong if your intention doesn't stick, but it is nice to get out ahead of it and create an intention beforehand. Now, the third tip here is to allow an abundant amount of options. So try to, and I recognize there might be some limitations based on where you live. Okay, so I recognize not all these tips are going to be perfect for every person listening, but I want to invite you to find somewhere that has a ton of options, lots and lots of different sizes. And I fully recognize with so many different people listening to this podcast, there's going to be people living in bigger bodies, in smaller bodies, in mid-sized bodies, and your store options are going to vary based on that. And that's unfortunate. I mean, let's just call it what it is. There's a lot of stores that don't carry the sizes and the options that we need. So I invite you to do a little bit of investigation. There's some great blogs out there. If I have a minute, I will link some stuff in the show notes, because there are different stores that have expanded the range of sizes, the range of options. They become much more inclusive. Some of them are just online. You can still apply some of these tips to online shopping P.S. But the reality is that you want to go somewhere that does have a lot of different options, if possible, right? We don't want to walk into stores that have limited sizes and options, you know, because honestly, it will just feed and fuel that anxiety, that frustration. So it's good if you are somebody who's a little bit apprehensive about shopping to start somewhere that's big. I think of places like TJ Maxx or Nordstrom Rack. They typically have lots and lots of different options, lots of sizes, where you can honestly maybe almost go overboard, but it's nice to have more options than to not have enough, especially in this frame of mind, if you're someone who's just kind of fearing that that shopping experience in general. So anyway, you want to make sure that you go through all the options. This is another reason you want to have time to go shopping. And it's important to cross sizes, meaning be open to, and this could be part of your intention, but to grabbing two or even three or four different sizes as you're shopping. This tip is especially important if you have noticed changes or fluctuations in your body one way or the other, and you might not know. Maybe you haven't shopped for a really long time and you don't know what size you wear anymore. It's important to give yourself permission to grab three to four different size options and let it mean nothing about you. I totally understand. That is easier said than done. You're listening to a podcast. Someone just told you that it means nothing about you, when in your entire life, that size on your dress has meant something. It's meant that you're too big or you're too small or you're too something, right? You're too much or not enough. And I talk about this with the scale as well. We let these numbers dictate so much in our lives. And I recognize fully that this is a practice to say, it's just a number of size on clothing. It means nothing about me. Like, it's so much easier said than done. So I really want to just call that out and validate that if you're listening to me talking about this and you're like, no, it absolutely means something about me, you're not alone. There's likely a lot of other people listening as well who are also feeling the same way. But this is where this is a practice. This is not a perfect. None of us are perfect. None of us are meant to feel perfect about shopping and perfect about the size that we're wearing. So grabbing a variety of sizes just indicates that you're beginning to open up to finding the best fitting clothes through this lens of curiosity. Be proud of yourself for grabbing various options. Not to mention, and let's just throw this in there, depending on the person creating the clothes or the company that creates the clothes, sizes are crazy. I mean, they have sizes like, I don't even know what it means, but like double and triple zero. Like, what is that? How can you be a size zero? That's not even a size. Like, the way that stores have manipulated sizing is just almost disgusting. You know, so let's just be open to maybe even laughing about that for a second and saying, wow, like, there's double zero. Like, what? That's not even a size. That's like, how can you be two zeros? I mean, it's just ridiculous, right? And putting an X in front of an L means that that's wrong. You know, it's just crazy how much meaning we give these numbers. And I'm not saying if you're feeling that pressure, that frustration with a certain size, that's wrong, because your emotions are totally valid in this whole experience. What I'm trying to indicate, however, is that there's been so much manipulation of clothes sizes. I'll go to one store and I'll wear this size. At another store, I'll wear two sizes smaller or two sizes bigger. It's the oddest thing. And through that experience, I've come to get really curious about, well, why do we put so much meaning on this, right? I even heard of a clothing store, and I absolutely love it. They size their clothes based on letters instead of numbers. So it's like size A, B, C, D, E, F, G. It's like, what is that? It's less it's more arbitrary, a little bit more less concrete, because I don't think we ever think about judging ourselves based on a letter. I'll have to find the company that does that and link it in the show notes. I'll do my best to find some links for y'all who are interested in some different places to shop or these different ways of sizing. But I've had a lot of clients, this is just like a little side tip, I've had clients go clothing shopping and they aren't happy with the size. Like, they'll be honest. They're like, I did not want to buy that size for myself. I didn't have a meltdown, but you know, I'm just letting you know, wasn't happy with that. what I've suggested and what we've talked about in different group coaching calls that I've held with these women. And it's so fun to do group coaching because you get this different perspective from these different people who have different lived experiences, right? And the suggestion came up to actually cut the tags out of your clothes after you buy, especially if you're not so happy with the number, because you don't want to be reminded of it every day, right? I think the goal would be to be fine with the number, to feel safe with the number, but let's be real. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're not safe with the number yet. Maybe you can't find neutrality with the size clothing, and that's okay. You can take a Sharpie and you can either write over the number, "I love you," like I've had people do that, and that's really fun, or "You're amazing," where basically they see the number and it's actually this little affirmation of some sort of self-love statement, or you could just cut the tag out completely. Who needs a number? Why does it matter, right? You can take that approach if that works. But side tangent over, coming back to this tip about really giving yourself a lot of options, you may also want to be sure to grab a variety of colors and styles. You don't have to just wear black or only wear certain styles to help cover parts up of you. I've noticed women talking about this where they only wear black or they only wear a certain style because they are really dissatisfied or frustrated with their body. And while that can help us feel safe and there's no judgment to whatever feels right for you, you might start to get curious about that. And when you go shopping, again, with more time, with that intention, notice what happens if you grab some things that you've never tried on before, right? Styles, colors, cuts, just to see what it would be like to wear something different. I say that knowing that that might feel really scary for some of you listening, and that's okay. These are just ideas. They are not rules. So let's talk about after you've set yourself up, you've got this huge cart of clothes, you have all these different options, multiple different sizes, and you get into the dressing room. And this is really where the rubber meets the road for so many women, because the opportunity presents itself to start having this meltdown in private. It's much easier to shed a tear when nobody's looking than it is to be out on the floor searching for stuff, although that can happen too. And this is the moment you could just dump all those feelings you'd had been experiencing as you were picking out clothes, but doing it in hiding. And this is where sometimes I've personally had the experience where I've just put everything down and walked out of the store. Like I didn't even buy a thing, right? And this has happened to different friends of mine, different clients of mine. So I know that's a real experience. Now I'm hoping as you're listening, you're noticing that if we get out ahead of it a little bit, we set that intention, we set some things aside, we do some intentional thinking about what that number means to us. We've created little resources for ourselves within the experience to stay calm, cool, and collected up to this point. But this is also where those mirrors are. And this is where a lot can come up for us emotionally when we look at our body in the mirror. And we all, this is normal, we all have a negativity bias. And so you might look in the mirror and you're instantly going to look at the parts of your body that you dislike. So that can easily cause a meltdown. So here are some options. And I want to just also highlight that a lot of the bigger clothing companies employ, I'm not even kidding, mirror scientists to assess dressing room setup to play mild tricks on our brain. They use lighting, mirror tilting, and other little tricks. So a lot of times that reflection that we see is really not very accurate. So I think that's helpful to know. But anyway, we're in the dressing room. We've got our clothes. We're hanging them up on the little things on the wall. What are they called? I don't know. We hang them up. And this is some things you can do. This is a list of some things you can do. You can take or leave whatever. But one of the things we can do is before trying anything on, just to simply sit down. Usually they have like a little corner that's you can sit on a little bench and relax for a few moments. Maybe do some deep breathing. You can do some different like box breathing or heart-centered breathing. I should probably do a podcast on those because they're incredibly useful. But just some deep breaths would be enough. Maybe visualize your intention, reconnect to why you came shopping in the first place. You might also be interested in bringing some headphones along with you, listening to your favorite music or your favorite podcast. Hint, hint. You can just turn some music on that makes you feel really happy, that brings you joy, that makes you feel calm. Maybe it's a violin or piano music. Maybe it's some upbeat pop music. I don't know. I don't know what your jam is, but put some headphones, put on something that's uplifting and happy so that you can be in that space in your head with that music as you're trying things on. Now, when you start trying on different articles of clothing, this has actually been so, so helpful for so many of my clients. And that's to face away from the mirror while you're putting on clothes. And put the clothing piece on and take some time to really decide, how does this piece of clothing feel on your body without assessing the appearance? If and only if you enjoy how it feels on your body, may you turn around and look at it. So if you notice you're putting it on and it's extremely tight, or there's some weird cut poking you a weird way, or it just feels ultra baggy, whatever it is, you don't even look in the mirror. You literally just take it off, put it aside, and you continue trying other options on until you find something that actually feels comfortable. Because the name of the game is comfort. If we're wearing clothes that pinch or poke at especially areas of our body that we feel really uncomfortable in, this is a trigger for us feeling bad about ourselves, right? And so we want to avoid that as we're trying on new clothes. Maybe we even avoid looking at the number as we're trying things on. I know that's sometimes not completely attainable, but the idea is before you turn around, look in the mirror, you literally take a minute to notice how it feels. And if it feels good, okay, take a look, turn around, focus on the clothing, because your brain is likely going to want to go back and, out of habit, look at parts of your body you don't care for. And it's going to look, you know, I don't know, whatever it is for you, your belly, your arms, your thighs. Those are some common places women tend to loathe or dislike more. But I want you to consider intentionally looking at your clothing and evaluate for different things, such as, is this shirt see-through? Can I see my bra straps? You know, is that good or bad? Depends on the person. Does this feel comfortable around my waist? You know, does the cut work for my body shape? And that can be a much better way to make a good decision about a piece of clothing outside of trying to try everything on, squeeze into a size that really doesn't fit our body, and really feel bad about it. You know, like we want to feel better. We may not feel great. Even if you apply all these tips, you might not love the experience. Like me, I still don't love shopping. Mostly because I'm very tall and it's very difficult to find clothes that fit my very long body, especially pants. I hate pants shopping so bad. I can never find something that fits my waist and is long enough. It's like crazy, right? So it doesn't mean that I have to love it, but it also doesn't mean that it has to be a terrible experience where I have a meltdown and run to my car feeling terrible, right? It's practice. This all takes practice. It all takes time. And these are just options to help support you. So let's talk about the fifth tip, and that's to not settle. When deciding if you're going to move forward in getting the clothes, I recommend, and this is, I say we because this has come from clients of mine, but I want to invite you to notice what it's like to make three piles as you go along and try stuff on. A heck no pile, a I'll consider it pile, and an absolutely yes pile, right? Obviously, the absolutely yes pile is easy. Just get it. Obviously, if you don't have the budget, you might have to pick and choose, but you can be resourceful with those choices. And go back through the clothing to make sure that those clothes align with your intention for the day. Do the clothes help you feel calm, content, peaceful? And if you have no clothes in your absolutely yes pile, that's okay. You do not have to get something today to make your efforts worth it. And I think that that might be challenging to hear for some people. Because if you can be bold and say, what I am seeing and trying on today is not working for me, I want to recognize that that's actually a huge success because you carved out time for yourself to move into a shopping experience, to set an intention, to carve out time for you, and you may discover that the store that you went to is a terrible option. So it's okay if you don't have things in your absolutely yes pile. It doesn't mean you failed, not at all. Now you might move over to the considerate pile depending on that absolutely yes pile and how big it was, but you might make a choice if you want to consider those clothes or not. If you're already satisfied, you can just strut right out of the dressing room now. But if you're curious and you want to make some decisions in the considerate pile, then avoid thinking these things. These are some thoughts that can get us in trouble. I'm going to get this because it covers this or that. I'm going to get this because it's what I always get. Now, you might sometimes get what you always get because it works for you. It lights you up. That's not a problem. But I want you to notice when you're getting into a rut with always getting the same thing, the same cut, the same shirt, the same brand, because it's safe, right? And even though you don't love it, and even though it doesn't light you up. And then another thought that might creep in is, I'll get this because it's cheaper than that one. Now, okay, again, I'm talking to a big audience here. You might say, but Beth, I have to. I need to follow a budget. Okay, I totally understand. We have to make these choices within context. So if you need to buy the cheaper one, that's fine. If you can afford the one that feels best on your body, though, I want to invite you to consider that. I've discovered with clothing, when it's accessible, if I buy the higher quality, it usually lasts me so much longer, and I end up spending less money in the long run because I bought something that really works for my body, for me, it feels good, and I don't get rid of it as quickly. Like, there's certain stores I can get super cheap stuff, but I wash it a couple times and it fits weird, or I don't know, it just wears down, things break, the sewing doesn't stay stitched, whatever it is, and I end up having to buy multiples, and it's a waste of money and time because I have to go back and buy more. So just notice as you're going through your considerate pile, you know, are you looking for things that cover your body, and just notice where and if that's important, how important that is to you, and if it's something that you feel is keeping you from really enjoying the process of shopping. I hope that makes sense. Again, this last thought is going to really vary depending on the person listening and the body experience that you've had. So you might want to make decisions a little differently, and that's not a problem. I'm just offering some options of things that have worked for clients of mine. The big take home here is to focus on how the clothing actually feels on you. And instead of making it on some of these other things like, oh, like I just want to cover up this or that, or I always get this because it's what I always get, or it's cheaper, or that's more expensive. Like, those are okay thoughts, but you want to really notice, how does this clothing feel? Because you get and you deserve to feel good in your clothing. And that's the take home point. And the best way to do that is to buy clothing that really does feel good on you. So you might try them on again and then consider the functionality. Will this shirt ride up when I walk, or do I feel it's easy to sit, stand, walk, etc., the things that you do in your everyday life? Okay, I think that's all I've got. I actually am surprised that this topic took me as long to talk about as it did, but I am somebody who enjoys going on tangent, so I hope it was on some level helpful. But here's the thing. Do you have tips? I'm curious. Do you have tips that could help others when you've gone shopping or you're looking at ways to avoid a meltdown? If you have tips or ideas, I would love for you to jump into my free Facebook group, Beyond Intuitive Eating, Total Confidence for Food, Body, and Life. That's the name of the group. Just search for or go down to the show notes to find a link and drop in a comment, you know, drop in a post. And let us know what you do to stay comfortable in your shopping experience, because I can drop these 5 tips, but I find that crowdsourcing, especially with things like this, can be really, really helpful as different bodies and different people are navigating these challenges. So that's my invitation to you. Take it or leave it, of course. But I'll leave it there. Thank you so much for listening. I can't wait to get on our podcast next week and join you again for more about total confidence in your food, your body, and your life. Hey there, beautiful soul. Do you ever find yourself caught in an endless loop of negative thoughts about your body and feel like you're in a constant war with what and how much to eat? If so, you're not alone. Reading a book, listening to a podcast, or talking to a friend may not be enough to help you experience total confidence with food and your body. For this reason, I have reopened my group coaching program, Peace with Food and Soul, a 4-month immersive space where you get to finally shed food and body guilt for good. I have dozens of testimonials from happy clients who will never spend another cent on diet culture solutions because they have created health, mind, body, and soul from the inside out in this program. Check out the show notes for a link to more information if joining a small community who gets you is just what you need to accelerate your journey. Hey, I am so grateful. If you enjoyed this podcast, I ask that you share it with a friend who might also benefit. And if you want even more support on your food and body journey, please check the show notes for information about my free Facebook group and private coaching opportunities. See you next time.